Academy Award-winning director Francis Ford Coppola has been acclaimed for movies like The Godfather and Apocalypse Now. Now he's turned his attention to a new way of making films. It's called live cinema. Coppola has been exploring it through workshops and the new book, Live Cinema and Its Techniques. Francis Ford Coppola joins us now from San Francisco. Welcome.
Thank you.
And let's start with the question, what is live cinema in your view?
Live cinema is essentially a cinematic piece of work. We'll call it a film or a motion picture, with its unique way of telling a story, and yet is not shot conventionally and then months and months gone by in editing, but is actually made while it's happening, and you're seeing it as it's being acted and being edited and being presented. Music is being added. It's all a live experience.
Would the end result, though, of live cinema be something that looks like a movie? Would you be able to tell, if you're a viewer, the difference between live cinema and not live cinema?
Well, since it really isn't being practiced quite today, it's hard to say because there are a few examples. It certainly wouldn't look like what we now call live television. There's been a number of live television productions. There was The Sound of Music and
right.
Peter Pan and Grease. But, you know, anyone who turns on a television and suddenly you're watching a movie knows instantly the difference between what is a movie and what is television or live television. So you could say that live cinema, if you suddenly just got it and looked at it, it would look like a movie. And whether or not you would notice that it was being performed live would depend somewhat on the power of the performance of the show. And because basically, live cinema is going back to the old tradition of performance, which is not present in modern cinema. Modern cinema is canned, as is most of our entertainment.
And there's something exciting about live.
Absolutely. I mean, I think back to the days of the 19th century when there were the equivalent of a movie director, except it was the director of the Dresden Opera or some opera company in Europe. And this person had tremendous power and resources to put on a production. And the difference is that when they had worked and were ready to present it to the public, he or the conductor, which was very often the same person, got up before the audience and they did it. And that audience was electrified at seeing Aida for the first time, or La Traviata, or the Flying Dutchman, or whatever it was. So that there was the element of performance. Performance is the thrill of knowing that what's being done is being done while you're watching it, and could go wrong.
Well, and you point out a lot of the problems with live cinema, or at least a lot of the challenges with live cinema, including hiding all of the cameras.
Well, that's one of the first things. And of course, the piece, the book, and what have you is really a manual of I didn't write it to be a book. I wrote it down to remember all the things I had learned in trying to do this type of work. And many of the things that I talk about, I meant it to be helpful to other directors who might want to venture into this. You know, in the last 8-9 years, the cinema has gone from being a mechanical medium, photochemical, with film and editing and actually holding the film in your hand and gluing it to another piece of film. It has gone to be a wholly electronic form, digital electronic form, so that movies today are made in a totally different process than they used to have been made throughout our history of cinema, going back to the turn of the century. So my position was, well, gee, if it's being made in a totally different way, in a totally different method, then perhaps the films will by themselves be very different than they ever could be before. And I began to wonder, well, how will they be different, you know? And that's what made me sit down and want to do this experiment. But all my life, since I was a little kid and first saw television when I was about 6 years old, I was fascinated with the idea of distant vision, being able to see at a distance.
You say you'd love to try live cinema techniques with a film like Lawrence of Arabia, which I couldn't think of a more difficult one to do. But why do you say that?
No, I didn't say I wanted to do that. I said that if they asked me, you know, obviously to make 12 Angry Men, which is a jurors discussing a case, is the unity that makes live television easy. But live cinema isn't limited in that way. You could tackle something much more ambitious cinematographically, which the great pioneer John Frankenheimer did. John Frankenheimer's live television productions from the 50s were like movies. They were brilliant and they were ambitious and they were shot-based, which is one of the differences between cinema and live television, is that cinema tells itself through a succession of very specific shots, whereas television, usually the shots are what we call coverage. They're just basically a shot of the group and a shot of this person and that person, rather than a dynamic storytelling through beautifully composed shots.
One of the things you say in your book is that a shot can be a word, but it's better if it's a sentence. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, it could be a word, and let's say it's a shot of a courthouse, a court building, and that shot then says the courthouse. But it could be a shot of the courthouse with the shadow of a person hanging from a tree, and then it's a sentence, the courthouse where justice sometimes is miscarried. Or the shot can move and tell different elements. So the shot is an expression of ideas, and they could be as simple as just a word, or it could be a whole part of the story.
How difficult do you think it would be to do live cinema when it comes to the actors?
That's the easiest part. That was one of the things that I dwell on. And it's funny because, you know, everyone knows that, oh, in movies that sometimes it's tough to get the actor to get through their page and a half of dialogue, and they have to have lines pasted up on the walls and stuff. But bottom line, actors, if they're given the chance to properly rehearse, and by that I don't mean just repeating the text over and over again. I think one of the more interesting chapters or useful chapters is the one about preparing the actors. But actors are no issue at all in terms of being able to do the entire piece from memory.
In the midst of all this conversation about the future of cinema, I wonder what you think about whether television has replaced cinema in a way right now, that you might be better off watching some incredible television show than spending $20 to go to the movies.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, what happened was that 10, 15 years ago, a lot of the young filmmakers who had been so inspired by the movies that people of my generation made in the 70s wanted to do that kind of cinema, but it was, as always, very hard to get to do it. So what was offered to them as an option was to do television, and in fact, series television. And they grasped that opportunity, and work like The Sopranos or Breaking Bad was done, very much inspired by cinema of the 70s, but they applied it to a form of modern television. So modern television today is extremely rich and ambitious and has greatness to it.
Would you like to be involved?
No. Could I do it live? Yes. If I could do it live, I would want to be involved.
And by the way, you are joining us from San Francisco. Why have you not based yourself in Hollywood?
Well, when I was a young screenwriter and wanting to be a director, I did live in Los Angeles, and I was one of the first film student graduates who got an opportunity first as a screenwriter and then as a director, where I met other young film students like George Lucas and John Milius and Carol Ballard and all of the colleagues from UCLA and USC. But we didn't feel exactly that we fit in with the studio system. And we wanted to, you know, explore making more, it's always difficult to give a word for, but more personal films, more experimental films, more films like the films that were coming from Europe and with the New Wave or the great Italian films. Also, we were more adept at using very lightweight equipment and more handheld cameras that you could put everything you needed to make a movie into a small van, which we did and made a film actually on the road. And we all said, well, gee, why not? We can make movies anywhere. Why don't we go to a more exciting city in terms of traditions of literature and poetry? And so we chose San Francisco, which is also not all that far from L.A. in terms of needing actors or the other resources.
So reading this book, I learned a couple of things. First and foremost, that radio production, which I've been doing for a long, long time, is very different than film, as I listen to you talk about some of the challenges that you would have. But also, we learn why your name is Francis Ford Coppola. You were following your brother.
exactly. I had a wonderfully brilliant and 5 year older brother who wanted to be a novelist. So I immediately said, well, I'll be a playwright. And it was always my dream that we would be two famous brothers like Aldous Huxley and his brother William James and Henry James, or Heinrich and Thomas Mann, you know. And he wrote under the name August Floyd Coppola, so I just imitated him and I became Francis Ford Coppola. I was named Ford after the Henry Ford Hospital where I was born. And so, yes, it's true that that I was imitating his use of the three names. I thought that was so cool.
That's Academy Award-winning director Francis Ford Coppola, whose new book about a new way to shoot films is called Live Cinema and Its Techniques. Francis Ford Coppola, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.